You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Healthcare workers are exposed to the coronavirus more than anyone else, you know that. And after their shift is over, they worry about passing the sickness on to their family. You may have seen images of nurses pitching tents in their garages and backyard. But in Ventura, nurses are taking a slightly different approach. That's Naomi Barajas opening the door of her new RV. It's parked in the driveway of her house on a quiet residential street in Oakview, California. That's a small town between Ventura and Ojai. She's one of more than a dozen nurses in Ventura living in donated trailers next to their homes. More on that story now from KCRW's Catherine Barnes.
Hey, girls, you need to get shoes on. Sweetheart, can you help me get their shoes on?
It's hard enough taking care of 2 2-year-olds under normal circumstances. But right now, Naomi Barajas can't help her twin girls put their shoes on. She can't even touch them. She's an ER nurse at the Ventura County Medical Center and doesn't know whether or not she's been exposed to COVID-19. So she's doing everything she can to keep her kids and her husband safe.
So my trailer is a 2017 19-foot Dutch Aerolite. When you walk in, there's a little sink to the right and a stove where I can do all my cooking and make myself coffee and hot water. I have a little microwave too. I have full water and electricity hookups.
After her 12-hour shift at the hospital, she comes back to her RV. It's parked right outside her house.
There's even a little radio in here, bathroom with a little shower and a little refrigerated that really needs to be stocked so I don't have to have my husband do everything for me. There's even a little bit of space for me to have a little table to do some meditation. And instead of pushing out the sides to become a bed, I've decided to just convert my couch. It just feels a little bit safer and more cozy and enclosed being out here alone.
Barajas got her trailer through a Facebook group called Trailers for Nurses. Angie Morellis started the group. She lives in the city of Ventura and is a nurse like Barajas at a nearby hospital called Community Memorial. She works on the telemetry floor for patients with heart conditions.
The trailer for nurses idea began with a personal need. I thought it would be ideal for me to have a trailer on my property and be able to self-isolate. Because I am working around a lot of COVID positive and rule out patients, I didn't want to bring anything with me in my home.
In late March, when Ventura surpassed 100 cases of COVID-19 and announced their fourth death, she started calling different RV lots and dealerships around town. A lot of them were closed. Others quoted her prices she couldn't afford. So she posted a quick video on Facebook, along with her email address.
Many nurses have resorted to sleeping in their cars or pitching tents. I simply feel it's not necessary. We just need a safe place to take a shower and sleep and feel safe that we're not bringing this virus into our homes. We take care of our communities, and we hope our communities are willing to help take care of us. If you are a business owner of a travel trailer lot or RV lot and you are able to help sponsor us, please contact me.
The idea took off. Now, when Morellis isn't working, she's running a quasi-matchmaking service, pairing hardworking nurses with unused RVs they can park on their property. So far, her group has made 14 matches, including herself. Her trailer came from Mark Dragonchuk, who runs an RV rental business that would typically be taking off for the summer season right now. Normally, he rents out his 8 trailers for about $100 a night to California road trippers, May through September, bringing in about $50,000 a year. But this summer,
all the reservations that we had, people had canceled, and not necessarily because they wanted to, it's mostly because where they were going, it was closed.
So when he saw nurses were looking for a place to live, he started delivering them free of charge, or almost.
I do have to charge them $1 just to make it an actual transaction so insurance stays in effect.
He drops each trailer off, makes sure it's level, and shows the nurse how to hook it up to electricity, water, and plumbing. He says it's the least he can do.
You know, if you're dealing with this kind of situation and you're putting your life at risk, you know, going in and dealing with COVID-19 patients, I couldn't imagine doing it. I commend them and happy that I can do something that makes their lives a little easier when they come home.
As cases continue to rise in Ventura County, Morella says she feels guilty every time she enters her house, even just to do laundry. So on her days off, she stays in the trailer in her driveway. Her Wi-Fi is bad, so she reads a lot and FaceTimes and texts her husband and kids, who are 15 and 21.
I miss all the fun things that we do together. And I miss, you know, just being able to have good conversation with my husband and being close to him. That's been a challenge. But the other thing is, my son is in high school, and since the high schools have closed, it's really hard for me to help him with his homework. I just can't hover over his back and, you know, see his computer screen. So that's been kind of a challenge as well.
For Naomi Barajas, who has the twin toddlers, keeping that 6 feet is even harder. Her girls are afraid of the mask she wears when they're together.
Listen, sweetheart, mommy has to wear a mask so she doesn't get you sick.
I think the hardest thing is not being able to snuggle them like I used to. Sorry, it's a little emotional for me. But the amazing thing is that they understand that there are a lot of germs right now and that mommy is working with sick people.
She interacts with them in the backyard and at a safe distance. They have family picnics together, and she watches as they play in the kiddie pool. And she reads to them on the grass, from a distance, until her next shift starts.
I will read you a book tomorrow. Mommy has to go get ready for work. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. You will come back.
I will come back, sweetheart.
Back in the trailer, she changes for work while her husband takes care of the kids.
Right now, because I haven't fully stocked everything, my husband is doing all the cooking and cleaning and kind of just bringing me my food outside. Actually, people are praising all of the frontline workers, which is appreciative, but there are so many spouses at home holding up the family frontline. So for that, I am so grateful to my husband. He is such a trooper and has been beyond patient and amazing with all of this.
The Trailers for Nurses Facebook group is getting new requests and donations each day. A separate group, RVs for MDs, is matching healthcare workers from around the country with trailers near them. For KCRW, I'm Catherine Barnes.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Los Angeles County is now requiring that you wear a mask or a face covering when you enter an essential business, such as a grocery store or pharmacy, places where it can be pretty hard to maintain a proper 6-foot distance from others at all times. If you work at one of those essential businesses, you're going to need one as well. But what about when you go outside for a walk or a jog or a bike ride? Well, it seems the outdoors are a gray area. One where you've probably, got enough space to be socially distant from other people, that's 6 feet, but one where you might bear the brunt of some mask shaming if you choose not to wear one. Well, we knew just who to call. Paula Cannon is a professor of microbiology and immunology at the Keck School of Medicine over at USC. Paula, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
First of all, there are all different kinds of masks, obviously. We hear a lot about the N95 masks. Those are the ones that are desperately needed by healthcare workers, the so-called PPE. What exactly is the role of a mask? How does it protect you from the coronavirus?
Sure. So I'm going to rephrase your question, actually, because it's not just about a mask protecting you from the coronavirus. It's actually also about the mask protecting other people if you have the coronavirus. And I think when we're talking about, you know, the general public wearing masks, actually, that's the reason for it. You know, Can a mask that you're wearing stop you, if you're infected, from infecting other people? And that's actually the real value, if we're going to be honest about wearing a mask.
I mean, what you're saying then is this is about the greater good, right?
Yeah. I mean, the nice side effect is you will also provide yourself with some protection. But the real public health reason driving the recommendation to wear masks and face coverings is to protect other people. And Steve, the real reason for that is we now have an increasing appreciation that people can be infected and can be infectious without having any symptoms. So by making this kind of blanket rule that everybody needs to wear a mask or a face covering, we're going to be capturing the people who are infectious, unintentionally, because they don't know about it. And so we're going to be able to stop that sort of chain of transmission.
But some masks work better than others, right?
Sure. And, you know, as you said, the N95s, which are, I guess, 95% effective, when they are fitted well, they are very powerful at preventing somebody from being infected. And the reason we say you don't need an N95 mask and they should be reserved for healthcare workers is because that level of protection is only necessary, but is necessary if you are, for example, a healthcare worker in an ICU up close with, you know, a COVID patient. For the rest of us, you know, walking our dogs, jogging down the street, or even in the grocery store, you know, much lower quality masks are going to do a pretty good job, including, you know, things that people have sewn themselves or that have made out of, you know, T-shirts and bandanas that are lying around the house.
It sounds like you're saying anything is better than nothing, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, we can't let perfect be the enemy of good here. I think common sense says to people that, you know yourself, if you cough and if you were infected, you cough out wet droplets and you know yourself that they're going to go quite a long distance. But if you had even like a couple of layers of a T-shirt wrapped around your mouth and you coughed, you know, that T-shirt's going to get damp inside because it's doing its job. It's stopping you spreading, you know, your cough droplets and potentially therefore any viruses if you were infected.
I totally get why you would wear a mask if you're going to the grocery store or the drugstore or somewhere, an essential business, right? You want to stop other people from catching whatever you may or may not have. Mm-hmm. But what if I'm going for a walk and, you know, there's no, I mean, forget about 6 feet. I mean, I live in a neighborhood. It's pretty quiet. Sometimes I'll see another person on the sidewalk, but not very often. Why would I wear a mask then?
Okay, so now it gets kind of complicated because I think you alluded earlier to the concept of mask shaming. But I'm going to reframe that as wearing a mask outdoors, even if you're in a pretty, you know, low traffic area, it's a way to also signal some good. What I do personally is if I'm going out and I'm walking around my neighborhood and I know there's going to be people I'm going to be seeing and passing and waving to, you know, every, you know, 20 feet or so, I put a mask on and I wear it the entire time. It's like a way of saying to my neighbors, I care about you as much as I care about myself and my family. So, you know, there's a psychological component to it. I also recognize that different people have different understandings of how viruses are spread and the reasons for wearing masks. And I don't want to contribute to their anxiety. So if my, you know, hypochondriacal neighbor is kind of staring out of her window and she's seeing people going by without masks, you know, this is not the time to kind of be looking down on her. I'm wearing my mask because I actually care about her mental health as well. So there's, you know, reasons to do it that may not always be scientific reasons. Having said that, if I'm walking in part, you know, a neighborhood and I know there's nobody around, I think like many of us, I've discovered a lot of, you know, back streets around my neighborhood. I kind of have my mask and I put it lower down. You know, it's around my neck, ready to be placed back on my face should I, you know, see any of my neighbors. But I'm not going to be running and wearing a very hot and uncomfortable mask if I really am kind of, you know, out in the great outdoors and in isolation. So that's my personal rules for mask wearing outdoors.
You say you lower it sometimes. We have these conversations over and over again. It's like, what's the proper way that you wear a mask? It should cover your nose and your mouth. Give us some insight on that, right? And if you see somebody like at a grocery store who's not wearing the mask properly, maybe they have the mask on, but it's only covering their mouth and not their nose. What do you say to them?
Yeah. So again, when I talk about wearing it kind of just hanging around my neck, that's for a situation where I'm outdoors, there's nobody around, and it's a convenient place to keep it so that I can put it over my face if I, you know, encounter somebody else on a trail. But yeah, the situation, if you're in a grocery store and your neighbors are doing their best and don't realize that they're not wearing a mask correctly, because of course, you know, if you're infected, viral particles can come out of your mouth and out of your nose. So having it over only one of those is kind of, you know, defeating the object. What I do is I mimic how to wear a mask. I'll use my hands. I'll kind of, you know, I make eye contact. I'm smiling, you know, under my mask. Hopefully my eyes are crinkling up. And I'll kind of, you know, pantomime with my hand, you know, move your mask up, you know, and I try to do it in a gracious, helpful way so people, you know, don't feel that I'm criticizing or shaming them, but I'm trying to help them. And I found that works. You know, people are, you know, we're all in this crazy, awful situation, but I think a little bit of just social grace and, you know, giving the impression you're actually trying to help somebody goes a long way and helps people to, you know, wear a mask correctly.
What do you do when you're done with it? You take the mask off, you've worn it for, you know, whatever, hours, and you're finished with it. Do you wash it? Do you throw it in the washing machine? If it's a disposable one, do you throw it away? If you only have a disposable one, then what do you do?
Yeah. So again, it you know, it depends. And we think about this in terms of, first of all, if you remember that you could be infected and not know it. So that mask, when you finished with it, could potentially be infectious. It could have viral particles on the inside. So the process I go through is, if it's a disposable mask, it's probably not going to be good to keep. So as long as I have other masks, when I get home, I will just toss that in the trash. If it's a washable mask, and I have some beautiful masks that my friends have made for me, then I put those into the laundry and wash them. And I have several of them. So, you know, I'm lucky I can kind of, you know, wear a new one every time I go out. If it's disposable, you know, you can leave it outdoors, especially in the sunlight for, say, 3 days, and it's probably going to be good to use again. But, you know, probably a more ideal scenario is taking a cloth mask and just throwing it in the laundry, and, you know, detergent and a regular, you know, warm wash is going to do a number on that virus. So that will be fine.
Just to wrap up, why is it so important to have this discussion?
You know, just getting the right information out to people, but also the common sense information is so important, because you can't just give people rules. You have to give people the reason behind them. And then people can make their own common sense decisions about it and feel good about that they are doing the right thing and they're helping in this fight against this virus.
Paula Cannon, professor of microbiology and immunology at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. Paula, thank you so much, professor. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Steve.
By the way, let us know what you're seeing out there. Are you mask shaming? Is someone mask shaming you? Are people doing a good job wearing masks in your neighborhood? Share your thoughts with us at kcrw.com/askgreaterLA. Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today is Earth Day. Marks the 50th anniversary of the big day. But for many of us who would normally mark that occasion by going out and enjoying nature, well, the options are limited these days to a stroll perhaps around the block. In spite of LA's stay-at-home order, there are still ways, however, to celebrate Earth Day and show the appreciation that you have to the natural world. And one of those ways can be done without even leaving your home. The 5th annual City Nature Challenge starts on Friday. It's a way for you to document wildlife in your community and share observations with the rest of the world. And with me now to talk more about the challenge and how it's going to go on in these trying times, Lila Higgins, Senior Manager for Community Science over at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County and co-author of the book Wild LA. Hi, Lila.
Thanks, Steve. Hi.
So how did this all get underway? I mean, how did it start and how did it spread?
In 2016, it was the very first National Citizen Science Day, and Allison and I and another coworker at Cal Academy, Rebecca Johnson, were like, what can we do? We all do citizen science. We do community science. What can we do to celebrate this? Let's do something that's fun. And we all use this app called iNaturalist to document wildlife. Let's have a competition between our two cities and use this easy-to-use app to document what we're finding. And maybe a few people will take part, but if not, we'll at least have fun. So that was really between the two cities, LA versus San Francisco, and really capitalizing on the two, the rivalry between our two cities.
I guess you can still get out into nature, right? As long as you're socially distant from other people. But we're in different times now. So what's changed in this environment?
It used to be a competition. Every other year, it's been a competition. We have got rid of the competitive aspect because we want to make sure people are safe. That's the number one priority. And so instead, we've made it a collaboration amongst all the cities. What can we all find together in these urban spaces? And I know that some of our scientists are actually really excited because during the City Nature Challenge, people often go up to the mountains or to large open natural areas and make observations. But we have a lot of observations from those places. We don't have a lot of observations from in the heart of the city, in some of the most urban places, from people's backyards. And so this year, we really are confined to our own neighborhoods, to our own houses. What can we find indoors even? And to our own backyards, if we're lucky enough to have a backyard. And the scientists are like, cool, we're going to find out things about the core of the city and things that maybe we didn't know before.
So you're talking about like what? Like a spider climbing up a lamppost or one of those alligator lizards that we talked about a few weeks ago. Maybe they're in the urban jungle as well.
Exactly. We know that it's going to be a really hot weekend here in LA, and so there are probably going to be quite a few alligator lizards mating in people's backyards, and we really need those observations.
If somebody is just listening to this and saying, nature, we live, you know, oh my gosh, I don't have much nature around me. I mean, my whole yard around my apartment is concrete, and there's only a taco truck, you know, in front of me. I mean, that's all I got. How do you tell people to go to the iNaturalist app to upload things? I mean, what are they looking for?
We literally have pictures from inside of apartment complexes, like in the courtyard, of alligator lizards mating in like very urban spaces. There are interesting mushrooms and slime molds that grow in planters in my neighborhood in Koreatown where I live. You know, one of the densest parts of the city. There are weeds that come out of the sidewalk from the cracks. Those are wild species. Those are there not because a human planted them. They showed up after the weed was doing its thing. And that is valuable scientific data.
And you can actually encourage nature a little bit, right? You can bring the natural world sort of into your realm.
Yeah, so some insects are attracted to light at night. And so if you leave your porch light on at night, you can go out and see what's attracted there. You can put up a bird feeder. You can try to put down what's called a cover board. So any piece of like old wood or a bit of cardboard even, creatures like to go underneath there because it's shady and oftentimes cooler. And so you can lift that up and see what's hiding underneath. We always recommend lift it up towards you so anything that's underneath can scurry away from you.
Again, it's the City Nature Challenge, which starts on Friday. Lila, before we let you go, though, I want to remember poet and environmental advocate Lewis McAdams. He was a friend of yours, right?
Yes, he was.
What would you like someone who's listening right now to take away about the life of Lewis McAdams and how indelibly he was connected to the natural world of Los Angeles?
Lewis was so fiercely outspoken, specifically for the river, but for a lot of natural causes in LA. And he really helped to give a voice to the river. And this is a legacy that he passed on to, you know, hundreds of environmental activists, including myself. And so I think what I'd like people to take away is to think about how can you be of service to the earth right now? And how can you help to give a voice to those that maybe don't have strong voices or don't have voices at all, whether that's a plant or an insect, children, or, you know, even a river.
Lila Higgins, my condolences to you. Senior Manager for Community Science over at the Natural History Museum of LA County. Co-authored the book Wild LA. Lila, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
That's going to do it for us today. Thank you for making Greater LA and KCRW part of your daily routine and a part of your lifeline. Yeah, there are a lot of budgets hurting at the moment. Today, we ask that you give what you can, if you can, a small contribution that feeds that lifeline for all of us. If you cannot give, no worries. We are here for everyone, but give for those who cannot, if you can. KCRW obviously not immune to the financial disruption. That's why we are on our mission critical fundraiser, kcrw.com/give, and go there today. Subscribe to the podcast while you're there as well. Share your thoughts with us. We'll also have links to the City Nature Challenge that Leela just spoke about as well. So I hope you can join us at our website, kcrw.com/greaterLA. And again, give if you can to this radio station, an important part of the fabric of Los Angeles. Join us on the radio Monday through Thursday, I should say, 1 and 6:30 at KCRW. Jenna Cagle, Rebecca Mooney, Danielle Chiriguayo, Sonia Geis, Mario Diaz, Mario Saavedra, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Amy Ta, Christian Bordall, and Christine Camito all made this show happen today. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Find some beauty today and have a great day.